Okay, everybody, so let's begin. We are still up to day three of our introduction. Day three of our introduction to Sefer Omos. Maybe today we'll try to pick up some speed. Okay, now I think we're ready for comfortable. It's time to go into high gear. It's time to move into high gear. Okay, let's do that, so let's begin. Let's continue with the Malbim. Yesterday we started the Malbim. We're going out of order in the Mefarshim in our way of introduction. So, almost we're up to over here on page. Start right after the Malbim on page 264. Page 264. Okay, the Malbim. Okay, at the bottom, Biur Ho'inyan. Beir, it's Beir Ho'inyan. Beir means to burn. Beir means to explain. Beir Ho'inyan. Is it the Beir Halacha? The whole world says the Beir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah. That means to destroy. It means to destroy the halacha. It means the Beir, the halacha. But let's not be maskilim today. Let's be a litvax. Be'er is a terazes.
But, you know, we just don't care about
different. Okay. Let's see. Divrei omois ashohayat vanaikdim. Okay, I'm reading the Malbim, page 264. Divrei omois ashohayat vanaikdim harav Rabbi Yitzchak Barinel. Hisig b'kanal ha-moira. He comes to disagree with the Rambam. The Moira is the Rambam. She'iniach yisoid musar. The Rambam lays out a fundamental principle. That it is impossible for a person to become an avi unless he has been prepared. His neshama has been designated for this purpose from the time he was born.
I'm sorry, where exactly are you?
I'm on page 264 in the Malbim. I'm now on the fourth line.
Okay.
The fourth line. In Bahana Tiv is Kifi Meze Gufoy Umoyach Vekoyach Dimyoinai. A person has to be. Number one, imob here means number one, it has to be natural. He's a natural. There's no training. According to the Rambam, there's no school for being a prophet. Even though we know in Sefer Tzif, Malach, we know that they learned that there were schools of prophets, whatever that means, it means. But according to the Rambam, there's no need to go to school to be trained to become a prophet. You're a natural. It's a natural gift to be a prophet. V'im bilimud ha-chochmois v'tuv ha-midois. Number two and three. A prophet must be a wise man and must be, can you believe this? A Baal Midos Toivos. Someone who has good character. That's a very rare trait today. To find someone that has Midos, especially, the higher you go. I don't want to say anything bad over here, Sersim Yechuva, but the Tuv HaMidos, the Oma Mareinu Harav Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Benel. Shadaze Boni al Divrei Hafiloi Soif. So the Barinel says, you know something? I don't like this. I don't, you know, by the way, Rav Shustel, the one who was there, who was the Rosh? Who was the Rosh over here the Rosh here in Torah Tamim before he made his own yeshiva? Rav Shustel? So someone was telling me that he's an incredible Baal Midas. It's awesome. Someone was marveling. They went to a dinner somewhere. They went to a place, and there was speakers, and he sat with the ultimate Derech Eretz, listening to every speech. And this Balabas, he was mamish blown away. Okay, this Balabas, who's told us to me, he's not a Bar Hochi to appreciate his lomdus, his Koyach HaTorah. Either am I. I mean, he's one of the biggest Rosh Yeshivas today, and he's not holding there. But what blew him away was he observed his midas. He's sitting there by dinner. Everyone is schmoozing away. No one's paying attention. Everyone is texting on their phones. Don't want to pay attention. And he's sitting there, b'hachna, listening to one speech after the other. If he already came to this dinner, he had derech eretz. And it's mamish, it's unbelievable. That's really what a Talmud Chacham really is. A real Talmud Chacham is toichoi kibarei. Here, the Rambam says that to be a Navi, Navi had to be, number one, you had to be a natural. Number two, you had to be a wise man. Number three, right here, the Tuv HaMidos, a Baal Derech Eretz. The Oma Mareinu Harav, Rabbi Yitzchak Barinel, Rabbi Barinel says, Shadash Zer Boni Al Divrei Hafi Loi Soif, Shehanavua Hi Bavar Tivi Migas Adam. This is built on philosophy. He's coming to criticize the Rambam. The Barinel is critical of the Rambam. The Rambam was influenced by a philosophy that a prophet has to be a natural. Davar tivi, it's natural. Magas la'adam, it comes to a person. Kishar hatsurois hativiois shelo yachulu bin nois ehem ki im achrei ha ki achar shelo yachulu bin nois ehem ki im achrei ha hachanois haruuyos alehem. And therefore, he says that where did the Rambam get such a thing? That in order to be a Navi, you have to be naturally inclined, a natural disposition to be a prophet. What?
Gifted.
He says, Ve'ein ze das toiro senu. That's a really, really sharp thing to say about the Rambam. Okay? To say the Rambam, what the Rambam is saying is not from the Torah. This is not das Torah about the Rambam. You know, that's pretty heavy-duty stuff. The Barbanel lived 1492. The Barbanel, he took leave of Spain. And the Rambam lived in the year, the beginning of the 11th century, somewhere along there?
He died in 1204.
1204. So the 13th, the very beginning of the 13th century. So we're dealing over here a good 300 years apart. And for someone, for Rabbi Abernel to say such harsh, critical words about the Rambam is shocking. Shocking to say the Ein Zeh Das Toiro Seinu. Ki Ein An Nevuah Davar, because he
never...
What?
Ramban also had sharp
words for the Rambam. The Ramban? The Ramban was the same, was not much after. The Ramban was...
No,
was closer. He was much closer to the Rambam. He was a much more of a contemporary. You know, they're, you know, it's only your own class. You can say what you want about them.
Well, they didn't know
black.
Was he related,
Ramban? No, not that I know of. No. Who knows? Maybe they were. Who knows? Not that we know of. I don't know. It's Mukhar or not. The Ein Zed Das Torah Seinu, Ki Ein Hanavua Dover Tivi, he comes to sharply disagree. The Abarbanel, he says that being a Navi has nothing to do with nature, with your gift, with your talents that Hashem gave you. Ki Ein Hanavua Dover Tivi, Ki Ein Hachon Tzricha Elecha, you do not need to be appeared, Ki Hanavua Dover Nisi Behechreach. Being a prophet is something which is lemala miderech hateva. It is something like Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's purely outside the rules of nature. It is outside the rules that this world operates upon. Ki kol koyach masig yesh lo yichos shamo umugbal im hadavar hamusug elav. Everything which has ki kol. Koyach masig. I'm not really sure what all this means. Let's read further. The nefesh ha'adam ein lo yichus v'lo yerech al hasider hu eloki. Can you tell them maybe to quiet down? Al hasider hu eloki shetekabalei v'derech tivi. Okay, there is no such thing with regard to nevuah. Nevuah is not something which has any connection to a human being. To a physical human being, a mortal man, there's absolutely no connection whatsoever. So don't say that a person to be a Navi has to be gifted, he has to have talent, he has to be a Chocham, he has to be a Baal Midos. Nevuah is something which is completely removed from Olam Hazeh. If a person is a Navi, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu has come down from Shemayim and has used a human, a mortal being to be a conduit to deliver his message. And therefore, it's not for us to say you need to have gifts and talents and have a certain disposition to these type of things. Yeah.
But then, what does that do with having Abu Ubank?
Having what?
Your father was a Navi. How does that?
Okay, I don't know. Let's see what he says. I don't know. Obviously, there's a lot more to it. Let's see one step at a time. Let's go further. This. What? So you're asking a question. What's the difference between the Shoftim and the Nevi'im?
Gidoi.
Right. So you're asking a very tough question. How? Yesterday we spoke about Ruach HaKodesh, Kisifrei Kesuvim, and verse the Nevi'im. What about the Shoftim? Where do they come into the picture? The Shoftim are all part of Sifrei Nevi'im. The Shoftim are part of when you make a bracha, we learn from the Shoftim. We learn from Sefer Yoshua, Sefer Shoftim, on the half of the half Torah. And what bracha do we make? Asher Bochar Binviim toivim v'rotza v'divrehem. It's a bracha levatala. We lay about Yiftach. We lay about Yeshua. We lay about Shimshain. It's a bracha levatala. What? Devora. So what are we doing over here? It's mamish a bracha levatala to make a bracha on the haftarah.
Devora was a neviyah. Devora had neviyah.
Okay, so Devora is an exception. You're correct. I'm sorry, but what about Shimshain? Does it say anywhere that Shimshain was a navi? Does it say anywhere that? Does it say anywhere that even Yeshua, does it say anywhere he was a Navi?
Yeah.
It does? I don't know, maybe.
No,
he
was Nismach Terumayshah.
So what does that mean exactly? Moshe was the Av Hanavim, right? He was the Av Hanavim. Does it say anywhere in Chazal that Yehoshua explicitly was a Navi? Moshe, Kibel Tarmis, in Masra li Yehoshua, or Yeshua li Zekanim, or Zekanim li Nevim, or Nevim li Anshe. What?
He's listed.
The Irish can list whatever they want to list.
No, I'm just saying he's listed.
Okay. Well, obviously, you're asking a very good question. Obviously, I believe the fact that we lay in Yeshua three times a year, right? We lay in Yeshua at Simchas Torah on the Parsha Shalach, and when's the third time?
Shalach.
Simchas Torah. Pesach, the Bris Milah. Very good, excellent, very good. Three times. It's always the last one to buy. When a shul buys Sifrei Nevi'im piece by piece, they buy Yehoshua last because it's the last of the Sifrei Nevi'im. It's the short, you only lay it three times. It's a lot of money. A lot of money to pay for something you only lay it three times a year. In any event, so obviously the fact that we make a bracha before we lay in from Sefer Yehoshua, Asher Bochar, Bin Vim Toivim Virotsov Divrayhem indicates without a shadow of a doubt, making a bracha Shema Malchus, that Yehoshua is a Navi. And the Shaiftim are also Nevi'im, and therefore we include them in what we call the Sifrei Nevi'im. Okay, being included in the Sifrei Nevi'im would not necessarily be a raya. I think the ultimate raya is the fact that we make a bracha Shema Malchus and we refer with Sifrei Nevi'im. But with a bracha. So obviously, a shofet is also a subcategory of Nevi'im. It's a Navi, it's a certain type of a Navi. Well, that's the discussion. That's what we're coming out to discuss. The Rambam. Yes. Okay, so I said it. The proof is, look, we make a bracha, but Shema Malchus. I have a much better raya than the fact that Art Scroll in the year 2017 published, and it was one of the Nevi'im. We've been making a bracha, but Shema Malchus for forever on the fact that Yeshua is a Navi. But Enochanam, you have to understand is that probably the Shoiftim were Nevi'im, plus, in addition to being Nevi'im, they also had power, Shlita. The Nevi'im Acharonim. Okay, the last four books of Yeshaya, Yechezkel, Yirmiyah, and the Treyasar, did they have any authority? Did they have any power? Could they make decisions that affected people's lives? L'chore not. We find that Yeshaya had power. If he wanted to pass a law, he wanted to take away someone's property, if he wanted to issue a tax on the people, did he have any authority to do so? No. I don't, maybe not that.
Yirmiyah,
certainly not. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to assassinate him. To the Treyasar, do we find that Shlita? No, I believe not. Maybe I'm wrong, but I believe not. The Nevi'im Rishonim, Sifrei Nevi'im Rishonim, which includes David and Shlomo and Achiah HaShiloi, well, Achiah HaShiloi, I don't know about Achiah HaShiloni, maybe, I don't know. But certainly Yoshua and Shimshon, the people who were accepted as Shoiftim, that meant that they had authority to make decisions which affected your life.
I think until there was a melech.
Yeah, the shofet was the acting melech. Was the acting melech. But the navi, the shofet was usually a navi. Was Shimshon mamash a navi? I guess he was. I don't really know. Shimshon was a very interesting person.
If you take a look at the story of Herb Tzadik Akhayim,
yeah.
Shimshon
was
like
over the top. Look, Yaakov Avinu, Lishu Oscha Kivisi Hashem, who was he thinking about?
Shimshon.
So Shimshon was, you know, over the top. Which means for sure he was a Navi.
He was right to be Mashiach.
Okay, so obviously he was, whatever this means. So let's go further. The Gadol over here is coming to challenge, over here the Bar Mel is coming to strongly challenge the Rambam. The Rambam says that to be a Navi person has to have certain gifts, certain talents, a certain disposition. And the Bar Mel says that this is not Das Torah. This is a very big talk. Because Nevuah is something which has no relationship to the immortal man. And if Hashem uses a mortal being. If Hashem is going to use a mortal being to be a conduit for His message, for His message, and obviously it has nothing to do with the person's ability, from his nature to serve in this role. It's just something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for His reasons, which are beyond our understanding, He handpicks people who He wants to serve as His representatives. Let's go further. From a person's nature, who is not a condition to be a prophet. And it's exactly what is coming to the point to make this point. We touched upon this in the Mincha Gedoyla, that the fact that Amos was a simple man, according to the opinion of the Malbim, the fact that it says here in the first pasuk of Amos that he was a shepherd means that he was an ordinary person. He was the last person you would ever imagine would become prophet. He learns over here, not like what it says in the Malbim, that he was from Tekoa, which means that he was a very wise man. He says, no, he was not a wise man. He was not respected, he was not wealthy. This is the chiddush of the Abarbanel. Yes?
Can we bring the proof
for
Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe
Rabbeinu
would not walk the P.A. from the Deus or at all depend on Kosh Baruch Hu appears to him.
Okay, so we have to go one step at a time. First, Moshe Rabbeinu was the son of Amram. He was the son of Amram. He was different. He already came from a different source. We know a lot more about him. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu...
He was brought up in the house of power.
He was brought up in the house of power, but his yichus was a different league, was a whole different level. Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe was the Avon Aviv. We're going to touch upon all these things very, very soon. But basically, let's just focus for the moment on Amos, from all of this that we've learned so far, the Mincha Gedoyla, he presented different opinions about this matter. And even in his most critical opinion, he seemed to say Amos still worked on himself. Amos himself was a holy person. He was a wise man. He was a person who went into his baidus. He was a shepherd, which gave him the opportunity to spend time to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he already was prepared to a degree to be a prophet. The Abarbanel is going to the extreme. He's taking this pasuk very literally. He's telling us a Noikad was not a very well-respected person. A Noikad, even the Malbim mentioned, Noikad had a reputation as being a ganav. Okay, all shepherds were known to be ganavim. He was not a well-respected person, and he was not wealthy, and he was not wise. And for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ki loy machshavoysai machshavoyseichem, selected him to be a tool, an instrument to reveal to Klal Yisrael the messages, the teachings that we will learn in Yirtzah Hashem. And this is where the Abarbanel comes to strongly criticize the Rambam, to say that in order to be a Navi, your neshama has to be selected, handpicked from before you were created. He holds it's just wrong. It's just not Das Torah. And he has a very strong argument to make that if you're going to say you need to be prepared, you need to have hachana to be a Navi, you're really coming to diminish the holiness of prophecy. It means that prophecy is something which is shayich to this lowly world, this mundane world which is made up of chomer, of matter. You're coming to diminish the sacredness, the loftiness of what the Nevuah is all about. if once you understand that Nevuah is something which is completely removed from this world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can speak to a human being in this world, it's completely removed from this world, then it really does not make a difference who will be the tool, who will be the conduit for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message. And even a person, a shepherd, that does not have anything special going for him, can be the one to whom Hashem chooses to be his messenger. Very extreme difference between the Abarbanel and the Rambam. Now let's go further. Uladati. But what is the Malm? Malm says, I also have an opinion on this matter. Okay? It's something to learn from that also. That, you know, yeah, you have the Rishayim, the Kadmainim, then you have a person that says, you know, I also have an opinion. I'm also a life form that has the right to voice my opinion. You gotta be very careful. Very, very respectful. When you do something like this, when you want to go to Machadish something, when you have Kadmainim that say other things, but the Malbum says,
if they conflict with one another, then you,
okay, it's an idea. Once you find, it's an interesting idea. He's saying something very, very good. That when you have a right to step in when you find extremes. So if you want to say something in the middle, then you're within your rights. But if you have Kadmainim, Rishainim, that say, all lined up, what right do you have to go and say a drush, a chiddush? Who are you? What do you think you are? So he's saying very good, Ruchel. I like that. Uldati, yesh v'zeh hevdil bin anavi l'vahana menabi l'tzrech atzme l'shleim u'shleimusay bin anavi yeshu shaliach l'tzrech hakad. Now he's like a beautiful yisayit. And this touches upon what the Malbim taught us back in Sefer Yoel. In Sefer Yoel, in fact, the Malbim was very forceful in embracing the shita of the Rambam, that your neshama has to be destined to give over prophecy before it came down into this world. And now the Malbim is changing his tune, singing a new song, and he's coming to say, really, there's a variety. There are different types of prophets. There are prophets that speak for Klal Yisrael, and there are prophets that speak for themselves. If you are a representative, if your message is for the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael, then the Rambam is right. But if your message is more local, it's time-related to a specific event that does not necessarily touch upon the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael, then maybe the Abarbanel is correct. You do then anyone can step up to the plate and be a prophet. Because your Nevuah is not on that level that it affects the purpose of this world, the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael.
Okay, but all our canon is based on posterity, right? Messages for posterity.
So we were 1.2 million prophets, and we only have recorded 42, because their message is timeless. Their message affects us today. But even in that spectrum, in that group of Nevi'im whose message is timeless and merited that their words were recorded for posterity, there are different madregos. Everything in this world, there are many gray, many shades of gray. It's not everything in this world is black and white. So let's take a look at Uladaiti. Yesh b'zeh hevdil bin hanavi hamenabe litzarech atzmoi u'shleimusoi, for himself and his own private shleimus. Bein hanavi shu shaliach litzarech haklal hanavi, which represents the entire klal yishol. Ki kishinabe Hashem es ha'odam ha'bilti muchan il hanavuah, who kivrias yesh me'ayin. Hashem selects a person that has no connection to the prophecy. It's like a new creation. V'zos lo yaseh Hashem rak letzorech gadol, for a very great cause. Ki kol hanisim she'osa Hashem hoyu b'rias yesh miyesh al yidei ha'moras ha'tzurois k'mo she'be'arti b'mekoymos acherim. He's going over here, really way over the deep end, telling us things that are way over our head, and that is when Hashem does miracles, it's in the category of yesh mi yesh. Now, when you read those words, you right away are taken aback. I would think just the opposite. What exactly is a miracle? A miracle is always, it's not natural. It's yesh me'ayin. He's saying, no, you don't understand how miracles work. A miracle, by definition, is something that's yesh mi yesh. Hashem takes an object, let's say the water turned into blood, the first smaka. Hashem didn't just create blood.
What he's saying is that, I think, The blood didn't come from nowhere. You needed the water.
The water. The water turned into blood. Exactly. The water turned into blood. Right, right.
Between the Nes and the Bria.
A Bria is a Yesh Me'ayin. In Bria Yivra Lekim, Uchatsasa Haaretz Espia. Something new. Yesh Me'ayin. Exactly, exactly. Elisha, the oil, the oil continued. You have to start off with a yesh, and from that yesh, Hashem creates a miracle.
The truth is, even the by Kairach with the Bria Chadasha Yivra Lakim, he says, but it says that the P Hadama that was that swallowed up Kairach was created during the Nashvashim. So even
that there was epis a yesh mi yesh. Okay. Therefore, lo yivchar Hashem liashmiya ruach nevu al ish rak b'yosef mizumun lo she'oz yosef birchosoy behachna. Then the bracha will increase with the behachna, the preparation hanimtzeis moy v'yeser ois lehashlimoy. It will be better if a person prepares himself. It's going to be yesh v'yesh. There's going to be something to it. Kama shamu in a kadosh baruch hu noisein chachma el misha yesh bechachma. Aval, so therefore he's saying that the very beautiful Chazal, Hashem gives Chochma to a person who has Chochma. It's in the category of Yesh, Mi, Yesh. If you have something to work with, we can work with it. If you have some Choymer, we can work with it. But if you have nothing, then Hashem's not going to do anything. Now, Aval, now he goes a step further. Aval, B'yesh, Yitzdarech Hashem L'shloach Navi Alador. If Hashem wants to send the prophet, v'lo yimtza ish hamuchon l'ze b'tivoy mileido umibeten umei heroyoin v'al yidei ha-chonosoy yivchar es asher yivchar ve'lov mitzad tzidkosoy v'yigdal hanes. There are times when there is no yesh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is desperate. He wants to bring a miracle. He wants to use a person. He wants to deliver a message. And there's no one that's available. There is no yesh, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu can use to use as a channel. Then Hashem still has compassion upon us. And Hashem goes the extra mile. And he does yesh me'ayin. Umizeh hanin hoyo hanavu omay. So this is an incredible chiddush of the Malbim. Unbelievable hakdama. Unbelievable introduction to the Sefer is that in this generation Hashem was dealing, almost, there was nothing to work with. Hashem could not find a yesh. It's like Hashem, Kaviyachol, wanted to bring the makeh of dam upon the Egyptians, and there's no water. There is no water. So what should Hashem do? Just quit?
But
throw in the towel? What?
Hosea and others
existed. Okay, that's not so simple. That's not so simple. What does it mean exactly a contemporary? Let's put that aside for now. You're saying, we can answer that, but let's put that aside for now. Let's assume just for the moment that there were no contemporaries at this moment, or for this specific purpose. The mission, the message of each Navi is unique. The unique nature of Amos, even if he did have contemporaries living in the same generation, the message that Hashem wanted to deliver could not have been fulfilled through his contemporaries. Hashem needed a certain type of person to deliver a certain type of message. And for that message, there was no one available. There was no yesh. Kaviyachol, let's make believe, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring the Makkah of Dam upon the Egyptians at this moment in time, and there's a drought. There is not one drop of water in Egypt. So Hashem could either say, you know what, there's no water, so you get away with it. I need a yesh in order to make a miracle. A miracle normally operates with the rules of yesh miyesh. We need water to turn water into blood. If there is no water, so there will not be any blood. Or Hashem can say, you know what, I'm going to make an exception in this case, even though normally I have it's yesh miyesh. Here I must bring blood upon Egypt. I'm just going to create, out of thin air, blood. Exactly what's happening over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to deliver a message to Klal Yisrael to a prophet. Hashem searched. I need a prophet that has a hachana, that has something there. He has prepared himself. His neshama is meant to give over prophecy, to deliver this message. And Hashem searched and there is no one available. No one's out there. So Hashem could just, you know what, forget it. I will not deliver the message. Hashem says, no, I have compassion upon my people. I want them to hear the message. I'm going to make an exception. I'm going to take an ordinary person that you never, ever would imagine in your wildest dreams is eligible, is right to be a prophet. I'm going to use him to be the prophet. That is a very unique element in Sefer Amos. Where do you ever hear such a thing? All of the Nevi'im, we learn how they went to school. They were children of Nevi'im. Moshe was the Av HaNevi'im. All of the prophets, they have something going for them. It's always Begeder. Yesh mi yesh. Amos, according to the Malbim, this is a chiddush that's totally off the charts. The Malbim is telling you a chiddush that the nature of the prophecy of Amos is a yesh me ayin. And it goes to show how much Hashem loves us. Hashem broke all of the rules. All of the rules for Klal Yisrael in order that he should deliver prophecy. I'll tell you, Derek Agav, I just found it very funny on this Kesher Shabbos. I remember I told this last week. There was a very big simcha in where I davened on Shabbos, and there was a kiddush, and they were setting up the tables, and there was a very chosh of a person. I don't want to say who it was, because you'll see why. A very, very outstanding person who has done for Klal Yisrael more than you could possibly imagine. You probably heard of his name. Incredible person. And we were setting up after davening is over, right away, it's second nature, all the tables come together in a certain formation to prepare for the kiddush. And being that it was a very large crowd, so there were a lot more tables than usual, and they were all locked in. And this fellow, who is, again, this very great person, was on the wrong side of the table. He was on the wrong side. Just as everything came together, and he wanted to get to the other side where he's supposed to sit, where the family demanded that he sit with them. So what would he do? He would have to walk all the way to the back, all the way around to get to his seat. And he would have to fight to get there because it was very, very crowded and a lot of chairs in the way. And I was where he was supposed to be. Not that I was sitting there because I was just sitting at the tables. And he looks at me. And he says, "You're gonna break apart the tables for me." even though by doing so, it's gonna be a little bit disruptive for various reasons because there was not much room and things already on the table were already set up with a tablecloth and so on and so forth. But I said, "So you want me to break all the rules, right?" So he this is a person, a very big... So he says, "Yeah, that's right." And now I said, "We'll have it on record. Now, you want to break all the rules here." So we broke all the... It was just a very... I don't remember the exact words, but it was a very cute exchange between him and us on the other side that here he is, this great authority in Klal Yisrael. He's demanding that we break all the rules to accommodate him. So here, Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is breaking all the rules. He's breaking the rules. Why? Because of the chiba, the love he has for Klal Yisrael.
The Malbim explains this in the Chumash, the same thought process by the difference between os and ofes.
Yeah.
He explains the difference, and where Moshe hit the rock when he should have talked to the rock, and that's where he has a long discussion what Moshe's chait really was.
One is yesh meyesh,
and one was mofes.
Is yesh meyayin.
That's where he explains the same thought process here.
Or you can simply explain it as melt or it's together.
Yeah. Okay, that's exactly what it was. Okay, let's go further. So this is the chiddush of the Malbim. Let's go further. Umizeh, let me just find the place over here. Okay, where are we up to? Okay, let's go further. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It is seven lines from the bottom. Seven lines from the bottom, page 264. The second, the last two words on the line. Umizeh hamin. It is of this form. He did not give up a prophecy for himself. Rak l'tzarech haklal. Shagam shekvar nibu oid shloisha neviim. Okay, being that. Okay, let's see what he says. There's a spectrum. Let's see. He had nothing to do with this. He was speaking about the klal. Shagam shekvar nibu oit shloisha neviim ba'isai perek. Look what it says over here. There were three other prophets that gave over prophecy in this time period. Rotzo Hashem shashnei neviim yinabu biyichud la'aseres hashvatim. Hashem wanted two prophets should speak directly to the aseres hashvatim. Who are these two prophets? Hosea v'Amos, Ushnayim Yinabu Yehuda v'Micha v'Yeshaya. Another new Yisoy. That's why I wanted to learn this before we started the Sefer. Between the Malma and the Mincha Gedolah, they lay out a lot of very important principles. And that is over here. In this time period, there are four prophets. Two were designated to speak to the Aseres Hashvatim, the Malchus of Yisrael. And two were designated to speak to the Malchus of Yehuda. Who was designated for the Malchus of Yehuda? Yeshaya and Micha. To this week's Haftorah, we learn from Micha. Mikel Kamecha, the psukim of Tashlich, are from Micha. Micha was at the same time as Yeshaya, and Amos and Hosea, and Micha spoke primarily to Yehuda. The two that were going to speak to the Aseres Hashvatim were one of their own. Another Yisoid. What is this new Yisoid? That the prophet that speaks to the group, a prophet that speaks to a group, should be one of their own. He should not be an outsider. Someone who is an outsider is not trusted, does not have carry the same weight. When one of your own gives you mussar, you listen. If someone from the outside comes into your machaneh and gives you words of mussar, you suspect, who told you? What are you coming over here to give us mussar? You do not know how things work among us. You do not relate to us. You're not a person to give us mussar. Therefore, by design, Hashem orchestrated that the two prophets that would give Musar to the Aseres Hashvatim were one of their own, from Shevet Osher and from Shevet Ruvain. Hosher was from Shevet Ruvain, and Amos was from Shevet Osher. From Tekoya, me Osher Shemeno Lachmoi. Right? So you have the thing, Shemena means Shemen, Shemen. Shemen is oil. It really says the reference to the bread. But there is a hint that Tekoa is the place of oil. Chazal said that the best oil, grade A oil, was produced in Tekoa. Shmeina, but the bread, Shmeina Lachma is the bread, but the word Shmeina is there. Shmeina Shomen is fat. And the Tekoa was grade A, the oil, grade A oil was produced in Tekoa. And
it doesn't say that he was from Russia. It says Tekoa is an Russia.
It says here in the pasuk, the first pasuk, Vanoikdim mitakoya, pasuk aleph. The second line in the pasuk.
Whether he's local by blood or by residence.
Yeah. He lives there.
He was from the Shev.
Okay, the assumption is, if it says, the Malbim is saying, if it says in the pasuk he was from Tekoya, we have a right to assume he was a native.
No.
Okay, we have a right to assume. In the Hanami, we make assumptions. You're right, but we'll make. Okay, I hear what you're saying. You're right. Maybe you're right. It's not muchach, but we could assume. If we don't know otherwise, it doesn't tell us otherwise, we have a right to assume. If it says he was mitukoya, he was a native to Tekoya, he was part of Shevet Asher. There was no one else. Hashem needed two good men to give over prophecy to the Aseres Hashvatim. Hosea obviously was muchan b'kach, and he needed a second person, and there was no one available. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, B'roif Chasto, he broke the rules, he did a yesh me'ayin job, by taking, by selecting omus. The achar shehutzrach l'sholchoi b'shlichus in this agency. Koilel hoisif barocha v'shefa kodesh al ha'achono hame'ata shemotza boy v'yishbeich es ruchoi olav. And what does that mean? He's coming to contradict himself. There was no one better than him, and once already he was selected, Hashem went full force. Hashem gave him all the steroids he needs to boost him up to maximum capacity, or over maximum capacity. Umash etoan harav Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel al shloy timsh ashlo timsh anehu beubois oilam veloy beYisrael achar hachurban hagam shi efshar shloy yimotze ish muchin lezeh ein etayna. Now he's going backwards. He's going back to another very important principle. The Abarbanel says, "How do I know? How do I know?" The Abarbanel argued that after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, there is no such thing as prophecy. Okay, there's no such thing as prophecy, not by the Goyim, not by Klal Yisrael, because there's no one that is qualified. If there is no Beis HaMikdash, that means that there is no Hashroas HaShechina upon this world. And without the Hashroas HaShechina on this world, it is impossible for a person to be a prophet. You have to tap into the source. If your router is not working, you're not going to have internet on your smartphone. Okay? So when the Beis HaMikdash is the router, you need the passwords on your smartphone, you need the codes, you need to have the right technology in order to tap in. But if the router is down, you can have the best technology available, it's not going to make one bit of a difference. The Beis HaMikdash is the router. People are devices. They need the proper antenna. They need the proper technology. They need the proper codes and passwords. Everything has to be working, but it's all built upon the principle that there is something to tap into in this world. Your router. If there is no Beis HaMikdash, it's not going to make any bit of a difference. So therefore, the Abarbanel says, therefore, it is impossible for there to be nevuah in this world after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So he says, that's ridiculous. Over here, the Malam says that's incorrect. Shemimash, the cost of Harambam, Shi'efsh. This is the Rambam says that it is impossible. We turn now to the next page, to page 266. Let's one step at a time. And it's impossible to happen because anyone that has been born has been created to give a prophecy, must give prophecy. Kigam cholus hanuhua al hamuchon tolui beratzin elo ki. Kigam hamuchon lenuhua eino muchon lezeh kadvarma hamachayavim b'teva. He's saying another principle. Okay, I'm not translating the words literally because I don't know how to translate them, but he's thinking of another yisoid. And that is, according to the Rambam, in order to give a prophecy, if your neshama has been designated to give prophecy from the time you were born, you don't have a choice. It just comes out. The prophecy descends. It's like the Amber Alerts, right? The Amber Alerts on your smartphone. You had a smartphone, and the smartphone is connected to the internet. You don't have a choice. When there's an Amber Alert, it starts to shake. It starts to make funny noises. It says things on your screen. So the Rambam learns that is what a prophecy is. A prophecy is, there is a router, or there are cell towers that are operational, and every person is and the Navi is a device, and it's connected, and when there is an Amber Alert, you have no control over your device. It's going to give forth that message. That's how the Rambam learns a Nevuah. The Malbim disagrees. He says, I disagree. If you want to shut off your phone, there's no Amber Alert. That's the way it goes. What? Okay, one thing at a time. But he's saying it's not so. Just because your neshama has been designated for this purpose and you have the ability to do give over nevuah, a Navi still has free will. Now that is a mouthful, what I just said. Another very big principle is, look at Yonah. Okay, Yom Kippur is coming up. Hashem told Yonah to give over words of nevuah to Nineveh, tell them to do tshuva, and Yonah said, no, I'm not interested. Sorry, Hashem. I'm not interested. B'chiru chavshes. My neshama was created for this purpose, and you're trying to deliver through me a message, just amber alert. I'm sorry, Hashem, I'm turning off my cell phone. And so what happened? He ran away. And Hashem says, you can run, but you can't hide. Not only can you can't hide, I will bring you where you need to be. I will get you where you need to be, whether you like it or not. So who's right? Look, you see in the story of Yonah, you see this conflict. Mitzad Echad, he's expressing his Bechir Chavshis not to deliver prophecy, but Mitzad Sheni, ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does force him to deliver the prophecy. When Hashem forces him, he doesn't force his mouth, his lips to move. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about events, Mesavev HaSibois, that I want to give over the prophecy. That's a very deep idea.
Yes.
People go to therapists, right? I was actually talking to someone yesterday, very big in the people go to therapists. So there are people that they have bechira chashis. I don't want. When you go to a therapist, the goal is the therapist should convince you that you do want. They're not gonna, a person wants that doesn't want to get married, right? So what, they're gonna pick him up and they're gonna march him down the chuppah, they're gonna carry him down the chuppah. That's one way to do it. And then there's a way where you persuade him that it's in his best interest to do this. And then he willingly goes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the best therapist out there. Okay? I know someone, they work for an organization. He told me they have on file 4,500 therapists. Can you imagine that? They have access, they know in the country, 4,500 therapists. He told me, I'm not saying, in the whole country. In this country, 45, they have access and they know about them. They have a file on every, and 4,500, 90% of them they would not touch. They will not touch them. They feel they're just not effective, they're not qualified. And then from the 10% of these 4,500, they make shaduchim. They make shaduchim based upon their files, their research, and they work very, very hard on a certain organization. You probably know the organization, whatever it is. They work very, very hard of making shidduchim. They study a person, they analyze the person, and there are certain people who are skilled at doing this, and the mamash shatchanim. For you, this is a person that we feel has a very high chance of success. And for you, if we send you to that guy, He'll destroy you. He'll destroy. It's sakonis nefesh. He'll destroy you. You need a different type of person, based upon our professional training and experience and history and records. We feel no one's perfect, you know. But we feel that this is why you're coming to us. You're coming to ask an expert opinion. It's a matter of the shatranim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what does the therapist do? He persuades you that you want to do this on your own will. So that's exactly what he's saying, what we learned from Yonah. Yonah expressed Bechira Chavshis, no. And Hashem said, fine, no is no. I will not force your lips to move. I'm not going to put you into a trance. I'm not going to go and take over your mind and send you to Nineveh, and you're going to be a madman, not in control of your mind, and you're going to be standing there in the town square, and your lips are going to move, and a voice is going to come out and tell the people what they need to hear. No, if you don't want, you don't have to go. But Hashem went through a sequence of events, opened up the eyes of Yonah to see that, you know something? It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing. The reasons that I thought that I should not give over, why I expressed my free will not to give, were incorrect. It's the right thing to do to travel to Nineveh and to deliver Hashem's message. So, Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. That's what you learn from Sefer Yonah. Over here, you see just the raw idea between what the Malbum is coming to challenge the Rambam. The Rambam says that prophecy is something which you have no control. And according to, if you take the Rambam literally, it means a Navi, is Hashem controls the mind of a Navi. The Rambam says, a Navi, he falls asleep. He's knocked out cold. He's not conscience. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to give him a prophecy when he was standing, when he was awake, when he was conscious. But every other prophet, he was out cold. His mind was controlled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had no free will. Exactly. But this is what the Rambam says. And over here, the Abarbanel is coming to disagree. Over here, he's quoting over here, the Malvim is coming to disagree with the Rambam. And he's saying over here, I don't understand what that means over here. He's saying over here that it means you don't have free will. Let's go further in the words of the Malvim on the third line. Kigam hamuchon nevuah eina muchon lezek advarim hamuchoyav meteva. Kigam nevuas hamuchon hu neis upela rak she'ena neis godol kolkach kenevuas habilti hamuchon. I was reading words here. I don't really know how to translate these words over here, so let's go further. The small amount of oil in the flask, kol hakelim. Okay, he's saying another principle is that we all know, we all can relate to this idea. There are different types of miracles. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rains and the earth produces enough produce to last for 3 years can be explained al derech hateva. Now, we all know deep down inside that it's a miracle. We all know deep down inside why B'davka in the year of Shemitah, Yovel Shemitah, did it really happen, such a thing? No, we all know deep down that it's a miracle, but scientifically, no, you can explain it that it happens sometimes. But when it comes to the fact that you only have an ounce of oil, and an ounce of oil turns into 10 gallons of oil, that cannot be explained. That's a nes lamala miderech hateva, but still in all, that nes is a yesh miyesh. You did start out with a dover shel choymer. And then there's another level of miracle where there's nothing to work with. Out of thin air, there's oil. So we see over here many levels of miracles. And the beautiful thing the Malma is coming to express to us over here, I'm interested in the words because I don't know how to translate the words, a little bit too hard for me, but basically he's trying to explain when it comes to prophecy, it's not one size fits all. We have 42 prophets. There are some prophets, like he's saying, Amos is zero. It's yesh me'ayin. He's totally not up to the task, totally not up for the job. And yet, what does Hashem do? Listen, I have to have rachmanis in my people. I can't just ignore them. I have to tell them what they need to hear. I'll take this fellow, for whatever reason, Hashem select, why him, not this guy? That we don't know. That's totally out of our understanding. And then we have another type of Navi. Oh, there's something to work with. There's something epis, there's something here. The person is a holy person. He's a parosh. He has good ichus. There's what to work with. I will bring upon him a dosage of prophecy that's way beyond what he can handle. He should short circuit immediately. It's over his head. But you know what? I'll do it. But I'm at least working with something. And then there are prophets that are so holy. Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe went to Shemayim for 40 days, 40 nights. Moshe's mama, Shemalach Elokim. Those prophets, it's kimah derech teva for them to give over words of prophecy. Because these people have refined their neshama. And their guf to such a degree where you can almost explain how they're chateva. Of course, they're roy to give over words of prophecy. It's an unbelievable thing what the Malam says. Yeah.
Could you go back and explain what the Malam means now that there was no nevuah among Israel after the flood?
Oh, so he's saying. I think what he's saying over there is that being that we do find Hashem gave Amos nevuah. And Amos was in a situation where he was not eligible for Nevuah at all, zero. He was not capable. Yet Hashem needed to deliver a message to Klal Yisrael. So Hashem made an exception. Yesh me'ayin. What? So maybe what he means is that Zechariah, that's a very big topic. We didn't learn Zechariah. We have to learn Zechariah inside all the introductions to Zechariah. When exactly he lived, when he started to say prophecy, even though Zechariah, it's true, he lived after the Beis Hamikdash, Chazal said that he started to say prophecy during the time of the Bayis Rishon, when there still was prophecy. So then once already you get going, once you start, then the channel is still open for you. So there's a lot to discuss. But he's saying a big chiddush. Saying over here is even in the time when there is no prophecy, when the router is down, if Hashem wants to deliver His message, Hashem can do it, even if all of the channels of communication are shut. And the proof is Omois. Omois was not eligible for Nevuah whatsoever, and yet Hashem decided to use him to deliver the message. So therefore, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, and there's no Nevuah, there's no Hashgaas HaShechinah on this world, so what? If Hashem wants, Hashem can do for us what we're calling here Yesh Me'ayin. This reminds me, we spoke about this a number of times, dreams. I have a home, a book this thick, with the best haskamas that Gedolim can give in this world, all the biggest Gedolim. The book is written mamish al pi das Torah, okay, whatever that means. It's a book. The sefer was written with Yerushalayim, and you go through the sefer. I once spent many years ago a lot of time going through the sefer. Anything that's supernatural, you get very excited about, and after you finish reading the sefer, the conclusion is, there is absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is thoroughly impossible, and you can underline that with many underlines in red and bold and italics, that any person today can have a dream that has any meaning whatsoever, any connection to what's going on in Shemayim. That's really what comes out from that book. That we live in a generation, we are so far removed from being able to directly communicate with what is above. There is no way a person can have a dream where a person is coming to him, a malach is coming to him, Hashem is speaking to him, giving him a message. It is impossible, more impossible than anything that's impossible in this world. Yet, we all here, everyone here in this room knows that's not true. Everyone here at some point in time in their life had a dream that shook them up. And then you know your neshama tells you there's something going on. Every person here in this room knows of a relative, knows of a story. I always told you my own uncle, right? My mother's uncle. He owed his whole life that he was in the morgue. He was in the morgue. They thought he was dead. He was buried with a bunch of bodies, and his mother came to him and said to Mendel, his name was Mendel. Mendel, jump over the fence. Mendel, jump over the fence. And in his dream, he said, I can't. I just don't have the koyach. Mendel, I'm telling you, jump over the fence. And he opened up his eyes, and didn't even know where he was, knew from nothing, and there was a fence there, and he jumped over, he climbed over the fence, he probably fell down there, lied down there, and he survived. So how do you explain that? And that's just one story that I have in my family. There's not a person here in this room that doesn't have a story to match, if not even better. So how could that possibly be? How could it be? I can show you a sefer that has the haskam of every single godly quality show, and it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you walk away from that sefer so disappointed, so depressed, like it's a joke. A dream today, you got to be out of your mind to attribute any significance to a dream. And yet we know it's not true. So we learned the answer right here. We learned the answer right here today, according to what the Malbim says, is Einachinami. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to communicate with Klal Yisrael, there's something called Yesh Miyesh. Hashem wants to bring blood upon the Egyptians. Hashem's looking for water. Oh, there's water. Ah, there's a liquid. There are some chemicals in the liquid. Maybe we can manipulate the chemicals. We can make from Yesh Me'ayin. We can make Yesh Me'ayin. We can make water into blood. Who knows? Maybe one day scientifically they'll be able to manipulate water. They'll make water into blood.